Let's read together. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, in order to humble you, putting you to the test, to know what lies in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you go hungry, and fed you with a manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, in order to make you understand that man shall not live on bread alone, but man shall live on everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out, nor did your food swell these 40 years. So you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied and you build good houses and live in them, you must say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand hath made me wealthy. But you are to remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. This is the word of the Lord. How often do you tell yourself, I've got to remember, I must not forget this? And what do? To help you remember, are you a notary? Do you make notes and leave them all over the place so you can remember? Are you a dumper? Do you just like to give that problem to somebody else? Please help me remember. Don't forget it. Or are you a gimmicky? Do you make use of gimmicks? You know, change the finger on which you put your ring, put your watch on the other side, or slip a little stone in your shoe. Why do we do this stuff? Because we know if there's something important that I want to remember, I'm going to get busy. And my headspace is going to be filled with lots of other stuff. And then this important thing will just slip out of my awareness. And when the time comes that I should remember it, it won't be there. So the question is, how do I make it part of my awareness? Because there's a lot of other stuff lying in your awareness. It's not the same as to think about something. I can think about other things, but if it's part of my awareness, it's still there. And it's when it's necessary, I can recall it. It will recall itself. Like, for instance, being married. You don't have to walk around and tell yourself, I've got to remember, I'm married. When the time comes to remember that you are married, it will appear in your awareness. When you see something beautiful and you wish you could have been with me and this, she would have enjoyed this. It comes to your mind. You remember it. And in today's language, we will say that you've established it in your awareness. It became part of your consciousness. And that, in the Old Testament, is the way that Moses spoke to Israel about remembering. And that's what it meant. That you should develop a type of consciousness where God is in remembrance all the time. To use Paul's words, your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. So the question is, how can I do it? Well, first of all, you've got to learn to think. Listen to the old Tyndale translation. And think on all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Think on all the way which God has led you. So pay attention to your experience for the specific time in your life where you were at a certain place going through something. Moses led them to become aware of the things that happened to them. You went through a wasteland, you were hungry, but also to become aware of all the things that were happening inside of them. He said, what were the story you were telling yourself? What did you think in your heart about the things that are happening to you? And then how did you react to it? And then a very important thing. Can you discover God in everything that happened to you? Today we would call it story making, discovering the story of your life. And it's a way of living where you don't just live off the experiences or the emotional state and the reaction to what happened to you, but where you actually think about everything and bringing it together and above everything else as Christians to discover God in it. His presence, His activity, His work within you. And He particularly takes their attention to three types of experiences, the positive and the negative. You were hungry, but you also had enough food. There were times. Pay attention to both of them. Can you see God in both of them? And sometimes it's more difficult for us to think and to see God's activity in the negative things happening in our lives. And then He invites us to look at the natural stuff. He said, look at your clothes, look at your feet, not swelling. Look at the stuff that could have happened to you and didn't happen to you. And in natural stuff like food and drink, and we might think it might have been very supernatural things, that water coming out of a rock. But in those areas, there's a lot of limestone and a lot of the rocks are hollow in the inside. And when it rains, the rocks are filled with water. And limestone's not all that hard. If you hit it on the side, you can make a hole and the water can come out of the rock. So the miracle was not so much a magic happening, but perhaps it was to get the right rock. How lucky were we to hit the right rock so that the water could come out of it. But I see God, like Jesus said, when you pray about my daily food. God is my source. I receive it from God. And then success, particularly verse 18, be very careful for the deceitfulness of success, because you can so easily think that I've done it. Look at all my hard work, everything that I've put together. And you can miss the fact that your life, to use the words of Paul in Acts 17:28, it says, He gives you your life and your breath and everything. That energy, that way of looking at things, it's a gift. You know, your ability to connect with people, and then all those coincidences of all the people that you've met in your life, all of those things are coming together, and it's God. Can you see it? Verse 5 is a father, like a father cares for his son. That's what you've got to realize. Acknowledge it in your heart. It's a step of faith that you've got to take to see and say, but these things I described and describe towards God. And if you look back at your life, honestly, you will discover grace, too much grace, coincidences, just your ability and everything that happened to your life. It's God's love. And the moment that you remember it, it will become into your awareness right now, right at that moment, at this moment. And you will immediately make the connection with your life now. This is what it means to live in remembrance. I'm not in the past anymore, but I am aware of the fact that God's giving me my life now. God is giving me my breath now. And at that moment, a desire will be born in you to remember it. You've got something that's very important that you should not forget. But why do we forget? Be careful that you don't forget. Well, there's two big reasons. First of all, because love is a choice. True love is a choice. The type of love that you're in and you feel I've got no choice is not real love. And God made us this way, to react to His love and His care and His presence out of our free will. We cannot get away from our physical needs like food. We can't easily get away from our addictions, and not even from our trauma. It's settled in our consciousness, and it's very harsh on us. But with God and with His love, you've got total freedom. Even if you don't want to be free, God won't take your freedom away. It's a free choice. And the other big problem and the reason is perhaps is because we've got the tendency to hide. A lot of us think that perhaps it's God who's hiding. You know, we talk about the hiddenness of God. God's not all that obvious. I mean, he's an unseen God. And then I've got to take this leap of faith to ascribe certain phenomena to Him and say, but that's God's working. Who's so sure? I cannot really empirically determine it. That's not that easy to see God. Meister Eckhart said, yes, you're right. God's playing hide and seek. And it's His time to hide. But He clears His throat while He's playing hide and seek. He's giving Himself away. I couldn't help but think about my son when he was a little child. We played hide and seek as a family. And I would hide at a very obvious place where you could find me. And I always leave my leg or something sticking out so that he can't miss it. And I'd love it when he found me and he laughed. He had so much joy. I've got you. You can't hide from me. And I felt perhaps this is something what's in God. You know, He wants to be found. And once you've discovered Him in the places where He hides, it becomes easier to find Him. He hides in people. And perhaps very unsuspectingly, in very common people perhaps, in a prisoner, an uneducated, poor person, you can find God. You find God in certain places, especially in nature. But you'll find God in yourself. There's places that you can guide to. The biggest problem is not the hiddenness of God, but it's the fact that we hide, and we hide in our forgetfulness. And it happens in two ways, as entrancement or when we dull ourselves to escape. And you might say, I don't live in a trance. I don't know what it is. I've never been there. But to be entranced is to be semi-conscious. I've had that experience on my way to this recording. I was in traffic and suddenly I was taken up with my thoughts. And when I arrived here, I realized I couldn't remember anything along the way. I've lost my consciousness. I was entranced. It wasn't bad. I was thinking about the sermon and everything that I've got to do today. But I've lost my consciousness. Listen to what Paul says. Make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. Be up and awake to what God is doing. It's our human condition. And we can only grow in remembrance. And one day with Him, we will be totally conscious and present to Him all the time. How do I remember? How do I remember? Two ways. We've got to ask God He must help us. And it's one of the big works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us that he would remind us. John 14:26. So we ask him. If ever you sense and experience something of it, it is grace. It's been given to God by you. You can't earn it. Can't achieve it. It's given to you. You might develop a way of praying where you look ahead for the day that you're entering into. And you might ask God to remind you. And you might become aware, if you start living this way, of incidents and places and certain meetings where you might lose your consciousness of God. You might be hijacked at those times. And you might think of possible ways, things, little things that you can do to help you to remind you. But to ask God to remind you, you'll be amazed. Just the smile of somebody, good words, encouraging words, a little child, lots of things all the time coming our way during the day that will just be a reminder for you for a moment of the love that you find yourself in. Another thing that we can do is we can do certain things. In the Middle Ages, they called it aids of recollection or sacramentals, even means of grace that you can develop. Jacob, for instance, and this was common in the Old Testament to help them to remember, people will build altars. And that's what Jacob did. He slept, he woke up at a place, he gave the place a name, Bethel, house of God. He said, I was not aware that God is here and God is with me. And he woke up to that reality. And what he did was to build an altar. That's a symbol. And then he poured some wine over the stone. That's a ritual. And then he said, I'll take a pilgrimage. Every year I will come back to this place to help me to remember that God is with me. And that's what he did. And then he said something very interesting. I would tithe as well. This is what I would do. Now, there's a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we don't build altars, but the dynamic is just the same with remembrance. Although the New Testament doesn't talk all that much about remembrance, the idea of remembrance is there in different languages and images, and it's very applicable to us today. It's the same with this Old Testament. We've got to get places. Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a place. Matthew 6:6. Isn't that what we do by building churches and coming to church? It's a place that you go to. And you can decide whether it's a pilgrimage for you or not, because a pilgrimage is determined by your intention. I'm not just going to work. I'm not just going to church. I'm on a journey with a deep intention that I want to have an encounter with God. I'm going to remember. I'm going to be there with other people. And we're going to tell one another what's happening inside of us. And we're going to plant these ideas in our head and bring it into our awareness. And we make use of symbols. The cross. The most universal symbol, I think, in the world. And then there's some rituals. The communion, Eucharist. Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. So you can decide on little things for yourself that you can do. Habits, things to wear. I've hashtagged a specific strip on the road on my way to church. It's about 500 meters, beautiful trees. Every time, every day that I ride, I won't accelerate, I'll slow down. I'll breathe deeply. I'll look around at the beautiful trees, take it all in. I'll smile and I say, thank you, Jesus. And at that moment, there's just a little remembering for myself. Try to discover things that's according to the shape of your heart, where you are at the moment of your life, and that has awakening power for you. That's the invitation. So we're going to do this exercise together with a few friends, and we're going to just remember the year that we've been through.
Hierdie oefening van onthou en refleksie het ons saam gedoen en ons gaan dit nou weer saam doen. Om terug te kyk oor die jaar. Waarvoor is ons dankbaar teenoor die Here? En dalk soos ons praat vandag is daar oomblikke en geleenthede wat by jou ook opkom. Kom ons vra die Here om ons te herinner. Here, Heilige Gees, ons vra vir die genade om te onthou. Te onthou wie U is. Wat U doen in ons midde, in ons, deur ons, met ons. Amen. Roland en Johan, as ons terugkyk, wat is van die goed wat die Heilige Gees julle aan herinner?
Ek het die jaar begin, post-COVID, maar met 'n baie sterk bewussyn en herinnering aan waardeur ons gekom het. Ek en Wilma het beide COVID gekry in hierdie periode en sy het 'n hartaanval gehad en ek het 'n koorsaanval gehad. En in my koorsaanval het ek gedissosieer met my lyf. Ek het gedink toe dit met my gebeur dat ek besig is om dood te gaan. Wilma het gedink sy is besig om dood te gaan toe sy hartaanval gekry het. So dit het ons na plekke toe gevat waar ons baie kwesbaar was. Jy weet, as jy met jou verganklikheid te doen kry en jy weet, ek kon nou dood gegaan het, dan lyk die lewe anderster. En in daai ervaring het ek God beleef. Ek het die eerste ding wat ek vir hom gesê het is, ek kan nie glo is verby nie, dat ek nou moet gaan nie, en dat ek nou so dood gaan nie, is dit hoe dit is om dood te gaan. En toe ek nie dadelik dood gaan, het ek by hom gepleit en gevra dat ek asseblief net my verstand sal behou, en dat ek nog iets sal kan doen, en nie vegetable is nie. En ek is deur het gekom, maar in daai pyn, in die siekte, het ek God beleef en ervaar. En dit het 'n blywende invloed op 'n mens. Ek meen die bewussyn kwyn van jou verganklikheid. Maar daai ervaring kan ek nie laat gaan nie. Dis diep in my bewussyn lê dit. En dieselfde met Wilma. En dan het ek mense bygestaan in daai tydperk. Tientalle mense deur COVID. En van hulle het ek bygestaan na die dood toe. En dit was vir my 'n groot ontwaking dat God nie net in my genesing nie, maar in my siekte is. En in my pyn. En ek, ons het ou koortjie gesing, jare terug as 'n tiener, deurgedra. Uit my deurgedra. En dis wat ek voel.
Ja. Ek onthou daai tyd. En ek onthou soos weer by mekaar gekom het en ons het gepraat oor hoeveel ander mense het nie sulke ervarings en het hierdie begeerte na heelwording toe nie, om gesoutsout te word. En dis waar ons visie vir soutsout, die reis, die gesamentlike reis na heling gebore is. En ek onthou net toe ons die leerervaring so begin aanbied met die 4 kontak sessies wat ons het en die retreats, en net om histories te hoor van mense. Ek onthou 'n vrou wat ek 'n paar jaar gelede ontmoet het in die gemeente. Toe sy na die gemeente toe gekom het, toe sy op 'n baie moeilike plek gewees. En so oor die jare het ons hier en daar gesprekke gehad en ek kon hoor hoe sy beleef, hoe sy deel, hoe die Here op maniere in haar lewe toe kom wat haar na nuwe plekke en nuwe moontlikhede toe vat. Maar nou die dag connect ons weer. En sy begin praat oor die soutsou en die reis waarop sy is en die trane loop en sy sê ek is vry. Die Here het my heel gemaak en ek kan agterkom sy sukkel om woorde te kry, maar dit is 'n diep, diep innerlike belewenis van dit wat die Here in haar doen. Ek weet nie van julle nie, maar dis waarvoor ek my lewe saam die Here wil gee, sulke stories.
Ja, ek dink Melissa vir my ook. Dit is dit. Ek is dankbaar vir hierdie community, vir hierdie stories wat ek met my lewe ook nou kan deel. En ek dink aan die stories van formasie hierdie jaar, hoe mense deur groot veranderinge in hulle lewens gegaan het en hoe hulle Jesus begin volg het deur goed wat gebeur het in hulle lewens. Hoe kom ons community gegroei het, hoe uiterlike simbole of aksies wys na innerlijke bewegings. Die doop is een van daai goed, waar mense, as hulle praat oor hulle doop, hoeveel mense ons deur doop gevat het, en as hulle praat oor hulle doop, dan rol die trane ook. Dan sal ook diep groot goed wat in hulle lewens gebeur het. Is uiterlijke simbool van 'n innerlijke besluit. Jy weet, ek het Jesus begin volg, en ek wil dit nou wys. Maar ek wys nie net met die doop of met ander uiterlike aksies nie. Hier is 'n storie wat ek wil deel met 'n community wat ek voorlief is.
En ook by Origins, wat ons alderie spandeer nog altyd daar en wat daar besig is om te gebeur, dit verbaas my.
Ja, ek dink Origins ook, dit vir my persoonlik 'n plek wat baie in my formasie al gedoen het in die laaste paar jare. So, dit is iets wat groot transformasie in mense se lewens bring. En ek dink net hierdie jaar, as ek na die stories luister, ek onthou, ek was op 'n retreat saam met 'n vrou, op 'n gesinsretreat saam met my gesin en haar gesin. En sy is al lank by Mosaïek en ewe skielik proe sy iets van wat het is om op 'n retreat te wees. Daarna maak sy weer 'n retreat vir haarself en derde keer nooi sy familielid saam en sy het nou vier die een wat sy geboek het. So hoe die verbeelding net aangegryp word met hierdie hele proses. Ek dink hierdie jaar is daar meer as 1000 mense wat deur Origins is. Dis 'n storie om te vertel. Meer as 15 gemeentes. So is nie net ons gemeente wat daarby betrokke is nie. Dis buitemense wat deel word van hierdie reis, meer as 15 ander gemeentes wat deel is, meer as 14 navrae per dag. Origins is iets wat ons help om Jesus beter te volg. En ek is diep dankbaar vir Origins in ons gemeente.
Geskenk van die Here af in 'n brandende bos en net wat stilte en gebed en natuur die Here kan doen in daai spasie. En ek is altyd gefassineer hoe wanneer ons groei in geloof of wanneer ek 'n ervaring met die Here het, iets skuif in my. Ek wil iets doen vir hom. En ek onthou so net voor COVID, ek weet nie of jy kan onthou nie, en ons het gesê ons wil 'n fokus hier in ons onmiddellike omgewing maak. Ons het dit Missio genoem. En ons het hierdie drome gehad van inisiatiewe van bediening waar mense hier in ons gemeenskap kan deelvorm. Toe kom COVID en alles verander. Die planne wat ons gemaak het, ons moet aanpas. En ons moet innoverend wees met hoe rol ons nou hierdie ding uit wat ons voel. Dis wat die Here ons nou toe nooi. En ek onthou tydens COVID hoe mense net hier opgedaag het om toebroodjies te smeer. Van die skole is toe waarvan ons kos kombuise is om uit te gaan deel, pakkies kos vir mense wat niks het nie, wat die werk het nie, kinders, ou mense. Die bediening groei so oor die 3 jaar. Ons het amper 5000 gemeenskapsure deur hierdie bediening gewerk, gedien in die gemeenskap. Of met ons het slaggate reggemaak in die paaie. Ons het ouer huise toe gegaan, mense wat nie hulle eie naels kan verf nie, 'n tannetjie. En ek wil Elsa vertel so van die stories wat gebeur in die aftreeoorde. Ons het groentetuine, hier is organisasies om ons wat groentetuine plant om kos te voorsien. Die polisiestasie hier in Fairland is een van hulle, hoe ons hande vat met daai organisasies. En ek dink wat vir my so, joeg, waarvoor ek die Here so dankbaar is, dit is nie net ons gemeente wat daar deel vorm nie. Ons sien mense uit ons gemeenskap wat kom en sê, ons wil hande vat by hierdie initiatiewe. Ons was nog nie hier in die kerk nie, maar ons wil deel wees van hierdie. En so oor hierdie jaar, 300 mense wat donderdag, woensdag, saterdag, hulle tyd, hulle energie kom gee. Dit is net so dankbaar daarvoor en om deel van dit te kan wees.
Ja, twee van die groot goed wat ons doen as 'n gemeente na buite toe, is kyk net, natuurlik. En in COVID ook het kyk net die kerk geword van duisende mense. En ons is baie dankbaar daarvoor. Is 'n baie veel eisende ding. Ek weet nie of ek hier al gevoel het, ek wil opgee of aanhou een kans gee nie. Dit is harde werk. Dit is iets extra, maar elke keer wat ons voel, wanneer ek sien, achterkom, wat gebeur het in mense se lewens, dan voel ek, dis die moeite werd. En ons weer is net vir 'n seisoen. Ons gaan nie vir altyd op kyk net wees nie. Hulle besluit ook al oor. Hulle het toe ons begin het gesê, maak julle reg 2 jaar, 3 jaar, ons het verby. Ons is nou al, ek weet nie, 10 jaar al besig en elke jaar is helemaal nog een jaar. Ons weet nie hoe lang nog nie. Maar die kos gee. Ek onthou toe ons begin het met die kos, is daar 'n paar gesinne wat die gemeente verlaat het, omdat hulle gevoel het, dat het nie een goeie ding is om soveel geld te spandeer op geboue. En wat is agter hierdie goeds? Moet hierdie geld vir die armes gee? Ons het natuurlijk nie geld gehad om vir die armes te gee nie. Ons die kerk begin bou sonder geld. En maar ons het die kerk gebou, maar daar het ons gesê, dat ons droom is, dat ons eendag, oor 'n naweek, meer geld sal opneem en kry, om vir die armes te gee en te sorg as wat ons in 'n hele jaar doen, op daai stadium. Ons het baie min geloof gehad, want ons doen vandag, elke dag meer, as wat ons 'n jaar gedoen het. Ons gee 20,000 ete se dag. Het is wonderlik, aan die ander kant is ook iets hartseer, ons het die directe contact verloor, ons het self die kos gegee, ons het self die ervaring, is anderster as jy iemand wat honger is in die oë kyk en self die kos en die dankbaarheid sien. Het is nou bykie, dit is professioneel, dit is te groot, logisties is dit, ek wil maar sê, een nachtmerrie om al hierdie goed by mekaar te hou en het recht te kry, maar ek dink net, ons moet nooit vergeet wat ons doen, saam, van ander mense nie, en ons moet 'n manier kry, dat die innige meegevoel in ons harte nog steeds aangewakker word, kontak te kan hê, direk met die armes en te sien wat ons doen daarmee. So, ons het nou deur 8 dae van gee gekom, ons is nou op die 8de dag, die laaste dag, en ons nooi nou vandag allemaal uit, om 'n financiële bydrae te maak. So, as hierdie jou tuiste is, as jy hier is waar jy gemeenskap vind, jou hart gevoed word, nooi ons jou uit, om my dankbaarheid. Nou, sê het, reflekteer oor jaar, wat het God vir jou gedoen, hoe het hy jou deurgedra, wat het hy in ons midde gedoen? Een ou manier van dankie sê is, hier is 'n offer. En Paulus sê in die Filippense 4:18, wat julle nou die geld wat julle gee vir die Here, is 'n aangename geur vir God. Dis 'n offer wat julle nou bring in die Here. So ons nooi jou uit. Bring jou offer. Bring ons, kom ons, bring ons offers. En ons sê dankie vir die Here.
For the things you
Every gift we receive from you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for our breath. Thank you that we can have a home. Thank you that you give us people in our life. Thank you for the gift of relationships. Thank you that we can work with you in this world. Thank you that you provide through our work. Thank you that you've given each one of us gifts and capacity to share something of your kingdom in this world. And Lord, we ask for your help and your grace to cultivate a life of thankfulness and gratitude. We ask that you will help us to notice and to see so that we can receive, that we can live with thanksgiving in every relationship with you, with others, within our place of life, our place in this world. Lord, we also want to pray for every person today that's with us or that we think of, a family member or a friend who is experiencing loss or heartache or pain. Will you help us to turn towards you, our anchor and our hope? Will you have mercy on us and give us the grace to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, in our relationships, in our relationship with you, with each other, and also in our world, Lord? We ask for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.